In a brief press White House appearance today with Henry Kissinger, President Trump was asked to respond to Senator Bob Corker's claim that he was putting the country on the path to World War III. The president said, "We were on the wrong path before." The president and his former ally have been in a Twitter war after President Trump tweeted that Corker only decided not to run for re-election after Trump refused to endorse him. Corker then tweeted that the White House was an adult daycare center. And in his New York Times interview, he said the president's staff struggles every day to try to contain him. Trump tweeted today, "The failing New York Times set little Bob Corker up by recording his conversation, was made to sound a fool, and that's what I am dealing with." Is there historical precedent for what we're seeing now, not just with Corker, but the president's tiff with his Secretary of State? For that matter, his wife's war of words over who is the first wife. Let's bring in Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University and a CNN political analyst. He joins us from Princeton. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And start with the Corker back and forth. This is a former ally. The president needs his vote. Corker is saying to fellow Republicans in that New York Times interview, "Say in public what you're saying in private." Have you seen this before?
No, it's remarkable. There are moments, obviously, when presidents are in heated battles with legislators from the same party. So one example is in the 1960s, Lyndon Johnson and Senator Fulbright were really at odds over the war in Vietnam, and Fulbright conducted hearings to expose the problems with the war. Speaker Tip O'Neill, a Democrat, was often saying bad things about Jimmy Carter. But here it's different. I mean, Senator Corker is really questioning his fitness and really whether he can be president. And he's raising questions about the way he conducts himself, the kind of person he is. So it's a whole other level of public criticism from an ally, from someone in the same party, that's very different than what we've seen before. And it's pretty stunning to hear him say it, not just once, but over the course of several days, almost giving the country a warning from the Hill.
Well, what about post-Nixon? I mean, we're all watching the Vietnam War series about the Vietnam era. And, you know, when the tapes started to come out, when it was clear that there was perhaps, you know, drinking involved, I mean, weren't people stepping up then?
Well, they would at the very end. I mean, that's the culmination, and that's why the tapes were so damning. Again, even in that case, though, the tapes ended up being more about listening to what President Nixon was doing in terms of obstructing an investigation rather than when transcripts were released of the tapes and we saw he cursed all the time and he said anti-Semitic things. That part is what we're talking about now, but it's not simply President Trump's language. I think Senator Corker's pointing to something very different. Can we trust him to have this position? And is he even capable of having this much authority with regard to military power and other matters?
Talk about Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who had lunch at the White House today with the president. Before that, the president was asked if he had undercut Tillerson with some of his comments. Let's listen.
No, I didn't undercut anybody. I don't believe in undercutting people. Thank you very much, everybody.
Well, but then there was also that reporting that Tillerson had in anger called the president a moron. The president tweeted out something about, "He's called me a moron. We should compare our IQs." You know, it's maybe sharper because it's social media, but is there another time in history like the fireside chats where a president went directly to the public that this is analogous to?
Well, again, we have to separate the fact presidents often have gone to the public in different ways, whether it was the fireside chats, Franklin Roosevelt speaking in the radio, or Reagan using television, from what we're seeing now. This is not simply opening the lines of communication. This is the kind of communication that President Trump is using. He is going into open battle with his allies, with his own cabinet, whether it's talking about IQ tests or openly blatantly undercutting Secretary of State Tillerson. There's no doubt he's done that repeatedly at this point, despite what he says. So the substance of his communication is really, I think, what's taking people aback, including people who supported him until now, who still support him, but are not quite sure what to do with the kind of rhetoric or the kind of tweets coming from this president.
Well, I misspoke. It was in a Forbes magazine story out today that he said that about if Tillerson did say he was a moron, then let's compare IQ tests. Look, you wrote on CNN.com that Tillerson should quit. Why?
Well, the argument is many people are complaining now, including Senator Corker, or issuing warnings that we have a problem, but not many people have done anything. And so, one argument is Secretary Tillerson, if he sees a big problem and he's really at odds with the president, he should stay in and work from within to make sure things are as good as possible. But the other is to do something to shake the political status quo. And that's exactly what a resignation would do. And it could have a big effect on the Hill. It could trigger some kind of activity or response rather than simply statements that could be a problem, that could be significant. You know, often members of cabinets stay in the cabinet because they believe they can do better work from inside than outside. But often that doesn't turn out to be the case. And so that's why I wrote the piece.
Well, look, I just want to get to the Donald Trump's wives issue. Ex-wife Ivana on Good Morning America talked about her relationship with her ex-husband.
I have the direct number to White House, but I don't really want to call him there because Melania is there, and I don't want to cause any kind of jealousy or something like that because I'm basically first Trump wife, okay? I'm first lady, okay?
Okay, she's laughing. She's joking. Melania's office didn't take it that way. They said these were self-serving noise. This was self-serving noise. We only have a couple seconds here, Julian. Uncharted territory?
Absolutely, and not a surprise. This is the kind of personal and political chaos that President Trump has brought to office. So the family's quarrels spilling out into the public is what we should expect, and it is different than what we've seen.
Princeton University's Julian Zelitzer, thank you as always for the historical perspective.
Thanks for having me.